And good afternoon. It is a Monday, October the 10th, 2016, 12:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program, and as many of you know, last night it was debate night in America. Holy mackerel, it certainly was, and I'll tell you what, it is being now called the most contentious debate in the history presidential presidential elections. We've got a lot of great guests over the next 2 hours here. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, will be in next hour. We'll be joined by HBO boxing analyst Larry Merchant this hour. And the Columbus Dispatch, which has not endorsed a Democratic candidate since 1916, their editor will be on in this hour, Alan Miller, to explain that. But to kick things off, we're going to talk to one of my favorite people. She is a former panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group. She currently writes for The Daily Beast. She is Eleanor Clift. Eleanor, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. Eleanor, I kind of want to go twofold here. Talk to me a little bit about the video. I know you wrote a column on it this past weekend about the video that came out on Donald Trump from Access Hollywood on Friday.
Well, when I watched that video online, I thought to myself, I remember a time when we wondered if America would elect a divorced president. Ronald Reagan had been divorced, so we got over that hurdle. Then Bill Clinton, of course, survived allegations of marital infidelity and went on to become president. And he was impeached, and he left office with very high approval ratings. So my point is that the voters are very forgiving of what they consider private personal behavior. But what do we make of this video of Donald Trump in what he calls locker room banter? It felt like a pornographic video had suddenly been introduced into the middle of the campaign. And I think when you watch it, you feel disgust and also pity for someone who is living as though the Mad Men era never ended. And he was 59 years old when that tape was made, newly married, a pregnant wife, and, you know, speaking in ways that are entirely inappropriate and that are really suggestive of sexual, and I think that was the conclusion that a lot of people made, and you really have seen a collapse in his support in the sort of the official Republican ranks, with dozens of lawmakers, you know, bailing out on him. And I think you saw his debate performance last night. I think he's sorry this came out, and he's embarrassed by it. But he still attributes it to, oh, kind of, you know, boys will be boys, that this isn't really who he is. But I think people who watch it and have seen the pattern of his behavior over time we've gotten acquainted with him in this campaign, really see it as who he is, not some aberration. So I guess that's where I'm coming from on the tape.
A lot of people said Friday night, Saturday, and even yesterday morning before the debate that this was the end of Donald Trump's campaign. Do you feel that way?
I feel that he kept a toehold in the campaign with his conduct in the debate, appealing very much to the people who will support him no matter what. He didn't fully self-destruct last night. I think it's going to take a while. I think he's going to, you know, lose the election. But along with that loss comes a lot of tarnish, I think, on the Republican brand name and on the Trump brand name. So I think there are a lot of people that are hurt by the bizarre conduct of this man and the way he has conducted himself as the nominee of a major presidential party.
How did you see the debate last night?
I saw it in the living room of two friends, and I was appalled by the stunt that he pulled ahead of time by bringing together these women with various allegations against Bill Clinton from 20-odd years ago, and the fact that he seems to think we can run a campaign where the main issue that's discussed is allegations that have been embellished over the years on right-wing sites. Last night was sort of the Breitbart media greatest hits, and most voters have moved on from the 90s, and to relitigate all of that seems to me a losing strategy on Mr. Trump's part.
When you saw them show up last night and actually sit in that debate hall, what ran through your mind as somebody who covered that whole story, those stories in general?
Those stories in general made a lot of money for the groups that were pushing them. There was a feature in the Washington Post, or I forget, or I suppose the New York Times yesterday, about all the books that are out there. If you really hate Hillary, you're going to love them. And I'm thinking that it's likely that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president, and that this, whatever you would call it, the sleaze industrial complex, is likely to continue, because there's a portion of the American people that want to believe the worst about Hillary Clinton and all kinds of fallacious facts and false information put together seems to keep this going. And I would not be surprised if Donald Trump became sort of a media mogul atop an anti-Clinton media empire should he lose, because he's not a man who accepts losing gracefully and will probably hold a grudge, and he's laid the groundwork for this, you know, saying the election is, if he loses, the election is likely to have been rigged. So I look at him and I think to myself, it would be an illusion to think that on November 8th, if he fails to win the presidency, that will be the last we've heard of him. No way.
When the debate was happening, how did you see the debate? There were several interesting moments. What stuck out to you?
Well, I actually loved the last question, and the fact that Hillary Clinton said something nice about Donald. So his children, their accomplished children, have been much featured. But that he then said what he admired about Hillary Clinton was that she never gives up. She's a fighter. And yet he's running a campaign where he questions her stamina. I didn't quite understand that. I mean, I think he was undermining his own campaign. But that's the same thing that Barack Obama said about Hillary Clinton when he ran against her, that a woman who is a real fighter and never gives up. So that was a nice moment. I thought the one time that Trump really got Hillary Clinton was on her comments to the Wall Street group, where she made the point that even the late great Saint Abraham Lincoln was a little bit of a double dealer in order to pass get the 13th Amendment passed, which is what's movie about him and that passage of that amendment. That was its thesis, that politicians sometimes have to be politicians and in order to get things accomplished. And she had made that case, and of course he cleverly jumped on it to say that she was trying to align herself with Lincoln and good old Honest Abe, that she surely is not that. But I get the point she was making, we actually need the two parties to work together once this election is over. And sometimes you wish you could bring back some of the old-fashioned forks that politicians used to use. It helps to get someone's vote if you could get a bridge in their district. That kind of that kind of what today we consider inappropriate, kind of the grease that made politics work. so it wasn't the best argument to make in front of Wall Street, and Trump jumped on that quite appropriately. But, you know, the back and forth about her emails, where he kept jabbing at her, I can't really think of any exchange that really shed much light on any issue that the American people should be concerned about. I mean, climate change didn't come up at all. And the Supreme Court, which is really what this election is about, it's not about the next 4 years, it's about the next 40 years. That's the last question, I think. It got pretty short shrift. The first half hour was taken up by the tape. And, you know, he basically, I don't think he showed much contrition at all, but he probably showed enough to keep himself alive as a nominee. I think after a weekend of Republicans trying to desperately think if there's some way they could dump him, I think most people have realized that they're stuck with him. Although Paul Ryan, in this phone call this morning with House members, House Republicans, said he will not campaign for them over the next 30-odd days.
It's very interesting. Eleanor, I thank you so much for calling in, and hopefully we will talk again very soon.
Okay, your other guest sounds interesting. I'd be eager to listen. Okay.
Thank you, Eleanor. Bye-bye.
Eleanor Cliff, we're going to take a quick break here, come back with Larry Merchant momentarily here on WWGH Radio. Don't you dare make the mistake of going anywhere.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And Scott Spears back with you here, 30 minutes past the hour, and as I said, last night was debate night in America, and they are calling it the most contentious presidential debate in the history of the world. So our next guest is exactly the right person to have on, because it certainly was a fight. Longtime HBO boxing analyst and good friend of this program, Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you? And how are things in Ohio these days?
Things are very good here. It's been beautiful weather the last couple weeks, which is good for us. Larry, last night they called it the most contentious debate in presidential history. How did you see it?
Well, I guess it was a brawler against a boxer puncher. Donald Trump just keeps punching, whether his punches are effective or not, and keeps revealing how open he is to being punched back, with the undertones and overtones of Weekend's revelation. I don't know if he was able to put that behind him. It seems to me that from what I've been reading and hearing, that he needs to win over women voters, and if he did anything at all over the weekend, it was to lose more of them, apparently. I was also, you know, struck by that epistle in which he said that when he gets into the Oval Office, he will put Hillary in jail. And I thought to myself, gee, I really like and respect Hillary for her achievements and for how smart she is, and you got to be really smart to go into that office. I wish she were a little lighter on her feet in that case, and have said something to Donald Trump like, you know, Donald, in your favorite country, Russia, with your favorite leader, Putin, that's what they do. They put their opponents in jail. In America, we don't do that. And I promise you that when I'm in office, I will not put you in jail.
You know, Larry, that was one of the most talked about moments last night. CNN did a poll when it was over and said that 57% of people who watched thought that Hillary Clinton won the debate, and 34% thought that Donald Trump won the debate. Does that sound right to you? How did you score it?
I didn't score it. I thought, you know, we score Trump on a very low curve, his own curve. So on that low curve, I suppose it could be said that he did better than the first time. He went on the attack. He was relentless. His body language around the stage was dismissive. He kept attacking the journalists, and I suppose he made a lot of points with his base by doing that. But I don't know how to measure it. But just that one exchange where I'll put you in jail, that may have made his 40% cheer. But I wonder what country they belong to.
That's a good, very apt question, Larry. You know, going into that debate, the weekend was proliferated with this video from Access Hollywood on Friday. What do you make of that video, the media attention it got, and the damage it possibly did to Donald Trump?
Well, the damage it did was that it reflected who he already knew he was. If there had been no trail of tears against women, ranking women, disrespecting women, you know, it's like he lives in the locker room. He said he was, that was locker room talk. It's like he lives his life in the locker room. And it just confirmed that. If there had been no previous incidents, then I think it would have easily gone away. But we saw before the event how many Republicans are fleeing from him. Hardline Republicans, which is not easy for them. We do have a two-party system. They do want to hold on to the Congress and the Senate. And this is their standard bearer. He won the nomination fair and square. Why? So it couldn't have been a good weekend for him. I don't know how, you know, to score debates necessarily. But it didn't seem to hurt Hillary, and it roused up his base with all of his accusations and still talking about what a disaster everything is. I mean, I live in an alternate universe just as he does, it seems. I go around the country, and I know that a lot of people are hurting and that the world is changing with technology, with the threats of more technology. Just as we once were an agrarian society that became more of a manufacturing society, that hurts people, and those people need to be helped to make the transition. But when I ask people, do you know people who are really hurting badly? What I see with my eyes, I don't see that world. There are obviously hot spots and bad places and all of that we know about. But I just wonder if people think that this country has declined the way he portrays it.
You know, that's a very interesting question. I don't know if anybody has the answer to it, but it's certainly a very interesting question. Do you think the video cost him the election, as so many said over the weekend?
I don't know. It obviously didn't help him, and he obviously is, from what we know, somewhat slightly behind. Frankly, I'm terrified. No matter, still, and that a guy like that, a hustler, a Barnum, could be within reaching distance of the presidency. So I don't know that I'm an honest broker in answering this. It stuns me that somebody of his low intellect and knowledge could appeal to people based on his outrageous behavior, not just against Hillary Clinton, but against other Republicans, some of whom might be ahead of Hillary if they had been were running against him now. But we're in a moment that happened, and he resonated somehow with a lot of people, and we'll just have to hold our breaths for the next month.
You know, Larry, sitting here in Ohio, and I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but it's amazing to me, and we haven't opened up the phone line since the debate last night, so maybe it'll change, but I highly doubt it. But the answer has been, okay, who are you going to go for, Trump or Hillary? And the answer continuously is, I don't like Trump, I'm not going to defend Trump, but I really don't like Hillary, and I might vote independent, I might leave it blank, I might not vote at all, but if you pin me down, because it's going to be one of the two, I'll be more comfortable with Donald Trump because he's the unknown. We know what we're going to get with Hillary, but he's the unknown. You referred to him as a hustler. What do you say to that answer, or that question? Or I guess it is an answer. What do you say to that answer, Larry?
There is some emotional element in that answer that obviously has resonated, that he can get as much as 40% of America to rather go for an unknown whose background and statements and are so questionable, who has no control over his emotions in public and probably elsewhere, in a dangerous time. Gee, I'll go for the unknown. I don't know what's wrong with the known. From what I've been reading, the economy has improved over the last 7 or 8 years significantly. She's for increasing hourly guaranteed pay. I'm just not sure what they see her as Lady Macbeth. I don't know why. I mean, every commission that has examined her has come away empty. But impressions are important, and for whatever reason, they have that impression. Maybe they don't think that deep down that a woman should be sitting in that chair. Even some women feel that. Maybe they like a guy who gropes, has the power and fame and money to grope women. I mean, maybe they think their daughters should be groped by powerful men, or their sisters should be groped by powerful men. I don't know. Maybe that's something that's baked in to who a lot of people are. They if success is in business is, as I've said before, there are thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of really successful businessmen in this country. Are they all more qualified than Hillary Clinton to run the country because they ran a company? I don't make that connection, but obviously there's a sizable number of people who disagree with me.
Larry, so I'll put you in the Hillary column. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
We do have a question before we part here in the studio from Terry Tecca. Terry, you're on with Larry Merchant. Go ahead.
Hey, Larry. Just a couple of issues here that people always bring up about Hillary, and I just kind of wanted to get your take on them, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The first thing that we always hear is Benghazi.
And is what?
The Benghazi situation.
You know what? I don't know.
They always say that comes into the trust factor with her, you know, is that she killed this.
Okay.
You know.
But you think that four people, Americans, killed in an operation in which I don't think any others were killed, is worthy of that much? Do you know how many embassies have been attacked in foreign countries over the years? Do you know that when Ronald Reagan was president, that over 200 Marines were killed in the Middle East by a bomb planted in a hotel? I mean, there are bad things that happen when you're involved all over the world. And to make that is as emblematic of her whole life as a public servant, it seems weird and obviously political. I don't know that, I mean, all these committees have tried to unravel that. None of them have been able to find that she did anything, quote, wrong, or that a Secretary of State 6,000 miles away from somebody who explodes a bomb is responsible for that, when we are located with soldiers all over the world. I don't know how that... I mean, explain to me why that is somehow, her fault, and B, the only thing that happened, or she did it in a lifetime.
And then my second question is, Larry, and of course not to keep beating the dead horse, but two other Secretary of States have done it, but why is it such a big deal with these emails about Hillary?
Well, it's a good question. Maybe I don't know if the equipment was not as good then as it is now. She did apparently ask previous members of a previous Secretary of State and others about the use. We have a contentious form of government when you have one party sitting in the White House and another party that controls one of the branches of Congress. There is a a political will to challenge everything, and she's been challenged to death by these commissions, usually by Republican congressional committees, and they haven't been able to nail her. I mean, is it scandalous? Did she bend the truth here and there? Show me anybody in any business or political office for 30 years who never bent the truth a little bit. Show me any human being that didn't bend the truth a little bit. She seems unexceptional in that regard, and it seems like there's some personal thing going on there between her and her opponents. Maybe they don't think she's a legitimate because her husband was president, and that's how she became famous, and blah blah blah. I don't know, but if you asked people to explain exactly what she did wrong in any of the so-called scandals she was involved with, and whether there were any consequences to her actions that hurt the country, I'd like to know it. What were the consequences of her actions that hurt the country directly? I don't hear that. She took a lot of money, for example, from corporations for her campaign, and many people hold her to account for that. But it's the law that you can do that. And as Bill Clinton once says, I'm not going to unilaterally disarm. That is, I'm not going to let my opponents collect money, and I'm not going to collect money to fight them. And somehow, in her case, this is a negative that she did this. So I do think there's a double standard. I do think a lot of this is political, but there must be some kind of intuition between the certain people and what she reflects about the political class and the Washington class, and reflect a good old-fashioned American belief that you got to throw the bums out and put a new bum in and then throw him out.
No, nobody better than Larry Merchant. Larry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. Larry Merchant, one of the best. We're going to take a break. We're running out of time here. Mary Ellen Withrow next hour. Coming up, Alan Miller from the Columbus Dispatch, the editor. They haven't endorsed a Republican in 100 years. We're going to find out why right around the corner.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayee Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
This is Marianne Michaels, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local topics every day.
Live 12:10 to 2 p.m.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. at the Scholar, they sing by a big...
And actually, we're going to break right into that promo because we're running out of time this hour. We thank Larry Merchant from HBO and Eleanor Cliff from The Daily Beast for being on. Remember, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, coming up next hour. Her first take on last night's debate, but we want to spend the last 10 minutes here talking to a gentleman very important here in Ohio with a very important story, because if you don't know, the Columbus Dispatch has been endorsing Republican candidates for president since 1916. The last president they endorsed was a Democrat, was Woodrow Wilson. 100 years later, they have done it again. It is Hillary Clinton. On to explain why, if you want to know, and I'm sure you do, is Alan Miller, the editor of the Columbus Dispatch. Alan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Alan, kind of a shock yesterday, 100 years since a Democrat got the nod from the Dispatch. How and why did this happen?
Well, I don't think it should be too much of a shock for several reasons. One, those who have been following our editorial pages know that in December we wrote an editorial saying that Donald Trump was unfit to be president. And later, for the primaries, we endorsed John Kasich, and we typically have not endorsed during the primaries, but we felt, as an editorial board, that it was important to not only reinforce the notion that Donald Trump is unfit to be president, but also to say that John Kasich is someone that we felt could do a very good job at that. And obviously at this point, he's not on the ballot, so... We had, I'm sure, many of the same types of, we as the editorial board had many of the same types of conversations that are going on in homes across America about how to, cut through the lies and the half-truths and get to facts about who would be best suited to serve this country. And, we still believe that Donald Trump is unfit, and I think the latest round of evidence came in the video that was released this past week. And when you examine Hillary Clinton, we see that she's also a flawed candidate, and we point that out in the editorial. But we believe that there are many strong points in her portfolio. She's experienced as a senator and a statesperson, and having been Secretary of State, she knows world leaders on a first name basis, and is well equipped to lead the country. And we also believe that there are strong checks and balances in place, not only with Congress, but also the American people and the media, and there are plenty of ways to make sure that those concerns that we do have are addressed by the checks and balances.
Alan, when we open up the phone lines here, the question continues, or the answer to the question of who are you going to vote for continues to be, they say, we don't like Trump, we're not going to vote for him, we don't like Hillary, we're not going to vote for her, we're going to vote third party, we're going to not write something in, we're going to just not go and vote at all. But if you hold a gun to our head between the two, Trump and Hillary, we are going to choose Trump because Trump is the unknown, and we know what we're going to get with Hillary. How do you answer that answer?
I think Trump is a known. We know a lot about him, and what we know is that he's a liar of epic proportion. He's a bigot. He is someone who insults women and mocks the disabled. He is a morally bankrupt person who I find as an individual to be completely erratic and irrational. I'm sure it's tempting to look towards someone who is not a Washington insider, but there is so much evidence that shows that he would not be a reliable leader, that's where we came down as an editorial board. Yes, much is known about Hillary, and what is known about her is that she has a lot of strengths. She certainly has some flaws, and again, we address those in the editorial. And I will say too about the third party candidates and write-ins; those are all options, and I'm sure that there are some people who will find it tempting, if not satisfying, to sort of register a protest against both the Democrats and the Republicans by voting for third party, or they truly believe that those folks would be the best leaders, and that's a possibility. But the reality is that third party candidates have little chance of winning, and a third party vote could also serve to basically ensure that the candidate you don't want to get into office will get there.
With about 2 minutes left here, I have two questions. Alan, was this hard because you guys didn't endorse Franklin Roosevelt? 100 years of Republicans, was this a hard thing to do?
Well, I wasn't around when when Roosevelt was being considered. It was painful, and we said that in the editorial. I mean, we look at the options, and we say at the very start of the editorial, how is it that in a nation of 300 million people, we end up with two of the most disliked and distrusted candidates that we've seen for president? And that's where we start. And so as we examined the options, we felt that, some newspapers have written editorials saying, don't vote for Trump, and stop there. We felt that it would be a cop-out to not do what every voter is expected to do when he or she goes into the voting booth, and that is to pick one. So that's how we arrived at where we arrived.
And final question here with 30 seconds left, and this is a long ball. Who won the debate last night?
Oh, I'm not one to say who pick winners and losers. I think that I don't think I've ever seen anything that got so deep into the gutter as that one did. And I think the lack of civility in some of these conversations is just repulsive, and I wish that we could get back to a position of talking about issues and policies and important things, as opposed to some of the gutter talk that that we ended up with last night. It really is disheartening.
Alan Miller, the editor of the Columbus Dispatch, for the first time in 100 years endorsing a Democratic candidate. Thank you, Alan, for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having us on.
We're going to take a quick 15-minute break here. Come back with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Stay with us.
Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish throughout the course of